Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome if you've joined us for the first time. We're in week four of our series. It's over here. Sorry, I didn't sneak it out before. Embracing your identity in Christ. We've looked at the fact that we are saved. We've looked at the fact that we are blessed. We've considered the fact that we are afflicted in and with Christ as well. And today, we're going to think a bit about prayer, the fact that we are heard. I'm just going to get rid of this because it's going to get in my way. Almost. That'll do. But how about I start by praying for us that we might hear what God has to say to us today. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are heard, that we can confidently come before your throne, that we can kneel before you, and that we can ask you all sorts of things, Lord, more than we could ever imagine, more than we could ever ask. We thank you that we too can hear you, that you've spoken to us clearly and most clearly in your word. And so as we open it today, we ask that you might, by your Spirit, give us the power to understand. Give us the power and the wisdom to know how it is that we are to respond, that we might be a people who pray knowing that we are heard. Please, Lord, do your work in and through us today. May my words be your words, and may all glory go to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear God, thanks for tomatoes and Auntie Ash and Uncle Dave. And please grow Dada's tomatoes big and strong. Please take us on our holidays and we can eat dinosaur muffins with lots and lots of dinosaurs on them because I love dinosaurs and I love muffins. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you're wondering, that was Andrew's... No, that wasn't Andrew's prayer. That was a prayer that my little boy Micah prayed only a little while ago, just before we went on holidays at Christmas. And I had to write it down because of how, one, how cute it was. But two, because when I'm thinking about what prayer is, there's something we can actually learn from this little boy's prayer. I mean, it's a little bit funny, isn't it? Praying for dinosaur muffins and Dada's tomatoes. They didn't grow all that well, by the way. But it's a funny little prayer. And yet it's insightful. A little boy talking to an almighty God. A child speaking to his father. I mean, it is personal too, isn't it? And it was full of requests, both big and small, particularly for a little child. These are big requests for him to get muffins. And it's expectant. It's waiting. And it definitely shows that tiny little boy's little heart too, doesn't it? What he desires, what he loves, what he longs for. And Micah's prayers can be heard by God. Your prayers, my prayers, are heard by God. They're actually heard. This prayer was actually heard by the Almighty Father. But do we pray like we are heard by the God of the universe? Do we truly believe that prayer actually works? That he doesn't just have cotton balls in his ears, but does it even work? That we are in a personal relationship with the one that we actually speak to. When we pray on a Sunday like we just have then, when we pray in our cars, when we pray at home, in the shower, wherever you do it, do we actually believe that we're being heard? And I mean, what do you ask for? Do you feel we can ask too much? Do you feel we can ask too big things? Or maybe we can ask things too small? And are we expectant when we pray? Are we actually awaiting an answer, a response? Consistently, repetitively asking because we are actually expecting something to happen. What does your prayer life reveal about you, about your heart, about your relationship with God? Does it show that you actually believe? Does it show that you know that your prayers are heard? Because it's been long said that prayer is this universal human activity. And for many religious people, it is, isn't it? We see all sorts of people bowing the knee to their different gods across the world. But the general discourse on prayer has changed a little bit, and it doesn't help with these sorts of questions. Because prayer, like religion, has been made this sort of private or almost personal thing, disconnected from reality. Or it's become a mystical thing that is detached from your everyday life that you only spend in a moment, or it becomes a hashtag to draw unity of people together who they don't even know which God they're actually praying to. We are often taught and told that prayer is phony. And once it's defined as phony, it then feels phony, doesn't it? Sometimes the biggest frustration with prayer is the activity itself. I mean, we try and do it. I know I try and do it. And we do want to actually be heard and believe that. But then we last about 10 seconds. The list of everything we have to do pops into our head. And we immediately start asking, what am I actually doing here? How many of you felt this way about prayer? Prayer becoming more of a burden than an amazing privilege and pleasure that we have. You don't feel heard, but silly. I mean, am I just talking to myself when I'm doing this? The comforting thing is, you, me, we're not alone. Most Christians feel this frustration when it comes to prayer. And if you don't, well, then you can go to... You still stay, because there's plenty for us to take from this text. Because we need to be reminded we are actually heard. And what we focus on helps us to understand that we are heard. What we actually focus on when we're trying to pray really helps us there. Because Micah's prayer is actually surprisingly helpful. And that's not what I'm going to preach on today, but it's helpful. Becoming like a child again, that sort of intimacy and imagination is a good example to follow. But we have a better one, an even better example again, because Paul gives us an example, doesn't he, in Ephesians 3, that helps us find the focus, that helps us learn how to pray. Because some of the best ways to learn how to pray is to watch mature Christians, to hear mature Christians pray. And we've got Paul here, sitting before us, kneeling before us today, and praying. And we're going to see, as you'll see in your outline, he prays personally. He prays with all sorts of requests, full of requests. He prays awaiting, always awaiting and expectant. And he prays in such a way that it reveals his heart. We can learn a lot from how it is that Paul prays today. But his prayer actually didn't start in verse 14, did it? If you remember from last week, and flick back to the beginning of chapter 3, his prayer actually started in verse 1 of Ephesians 3. So have your Bibles open. Flick with me just to verse 3. He started with, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles," and as Paul does sometimes, he got interrupted by thinking about something else before he started praying. But his interruption, what we had a look last week with Ange, the recounting of his ministry and the significant place that the church has, that the church within God's purposes, that it's now been revealed to all, that little interruption, it actually adds weight. Because when he picks up his prayer again, where is it? Verse 14, with the same phrase, "for this reason." He's added weight because of what he said last week. But if we're going to understand the prayer, we have to quickly identify the reason. We have to understand why he's saying, "for this reason I kneel." So in chapter 2, what happened? And the beginning of chapter 3, Paul has explained how through the gracious work of Christ, God has created himself this new humanity, a new international church, Andrew was telling us last week. Enemies have been brought together. God and the people, Jews and the Gentiles have come together. The people have become in Christ a holy temple, verse 21 of chapter 2 tells us. Built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit, 2:22. That's what the church is now. And the people are now to be that, to live out the identity we've been talking about, that they are blessed, that they are saved, that they are afflicted because they are in Christ. So Paul prays because Paul knows God will hear, and Paul knows the people need God's power to be able to live this out. And Paul starts in an incredibly personal way. Prayer can and should be personal, relational, because the infinite God is also intimate and personal with each and every single one of his believers. And our first lesson from Paul comes from this, his approach and his address in verses 14 and 15. Take a look with me. "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." Sorry, I skipped verse 15, didn't I? "From whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name." Paul starts by what? Kneeling. Now, the normal posture in Jewish and early sort of Christian prayer was actually to stand. We might think it was to kneel, but they actually stood. And so this was a little bit uncommon. What Paul's doing here was uncommon. It was uncommon throughout the whole Bible to kneel. So this is an unusual and humbling act. And actually, it would have been difficult for Paul. I mean, you think about Paul. Paul's getting older. Like all of us, we slowly get older. But he'd been through a bit as well. I mean, Paul has been stoned so badly that they dragged him out of the city and left him to die because they thought he was dead. He's been shipwrecked, bitten by snakes. He's had a pretty rough time about it. His body surely is aching a little bit. He's in prison as he writes this. So think about that, both physically and even psychologically. God, you let me through all of this, humbly bending the knee. It's difficult, is it not? But he does it. And we can see why in a moment. But I wonder, what stops us? What stops you, what stops me from kneeling when we pray? I mean, maybe you do occasionally. Maybe it is the occasional thing you do. But for some, physically, it could be very difficult. I'll grant you that. For some of us, physically, it's hard. For most of us, though, it's probably more psychological, isn't it? And it's not even necessarily a pride thing. It just feels weird. Let's be honest, you hopped it. We don't do it, do we? But this might actually tap into how we feel about prayer in general, because it just feels weird sometimes too. It's not done, it's difficult, and so we end up never actually approaching our God. We never bend the knee, physically nor metaphorically. And so it ends up becoming uncomfortable, like talking to a stranger. You know you sort of have to, but I really don't want to have to go over and speak to that person. You know the exact circumstance I'm talking about. But our intimate connection, our personal relationship can change that discomfort. Or it can make it all the more worth it. Like a child sitting with, walking with, talking with the most gracious and wonderful Father you could ever imagine. And that is exactly how Paul addresses God, isn't it? Because he approaches him kneeling and he addresses him as, verse 14, Father. Now Jesus calls God Father some sort of 60 times in the scriptures. And he even taught his followers to do the same. He even taught his followers to call God their Father. This is personal. And it comes from the fact that we, being united with Christ, can approach God just like his Son, can't we? Verse 12 of chapter 3, if you have a look just back a little bit, says, in him, that's Christ, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Now this can be hard, because like me, earthly fathers are broken. Earthly fathers have and will fail us. See, I'm not always present. I mean, sometimes I just don't even pay attention to Mike. I can even hear him, but I just couldn't be bothered. I know it sounds terrible, but that's the reality. That's me. I'm broken. Sometimes I just don't want to pay attention to Mike or to Tilly when they're at me. And then there are others of us, a little bit more seriously, who have suffered abuse because of our fathers, have been abandoned by them, watched as their fathers abuse others. Please do not judge God by that standard, for he is always present, always waiting to hear from you, from me, from all of us. He wants to hear us. Peter, echoing the psalm, says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. He is waiting and wanting to hear. And to the one where 1,000 years is but a day, he actually has the ability to listen, to hear every single person in this room, in this world. Every single person's call. See, even I said I ignore my kids. Please don't judge my parenting on that little one moment. Because I only have to hear the way Micah says dada to know how he's feeling. All he has to say is dada. And I know whether he's excited, upset, about to go absolutely ballistic crazy. Even when we see and experience the best moments of fathers interacting with their kids, that is just a glimpse of the intimate and personal relationship you have with God. And this is why the focus is important. Prayer isn't the object. We don't come here to talk about prayer so we can do prayer. No, communicating with the Father is. Focusing on prayer itself is like, you ever driven and your windscreen's dirty as, and all you can look at is your windscreen and you end up starting to veer off the road? Focusing on prayer is like focusing on the windshield. You're not worried about the destination. You're not worried about where you're going or why you're actually driving. It's, oh man, there's windshields in the way. It's like focusing on the conversation rather than the reason for it. How frustrating would that be if you're both just sitting there focusing on the conversation? We need to focus on who we are addressing and why we're addressing him, because we're in this intimate and personal relationship with the Father. But This Father, as Steve was drawing our attention to before, is also the infinitely powerful Creator. That's what verse 15 that I unfortunately skipped. Verse 15 reminds us of. It stresses the universal power of God. This should give us confidence, yeah? But it also creates this incredibly strange tension, doesn't it? How could my prayers influence this almighty Creator? How could my prayers influence the functions of this world? Me, sometimes just sprouting something off in my head. How? And we're often told they can't, aren't we? We're often told you are just talking to yourself. But we must remember the infinite Creator is also the intimate Father who longs to hear from his children, to hear them and to respond, because prayer is personal and relational. God longs to be personal and relational with his children. This Christianity thing, this what we've been talking about, is all about this relationship, a personal relationship with God. And the loving Father longs to give. So he wants to hear what you want. And Paul knows this, because this prayer is heavy with requests. It's not just like he sort of sprouts one and goes, oh, I'll stop it there. No. Verses 16 to 19 is like the main content of Paul's prayer. And just look at what Paul asks for. Read it with me. Verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That is a big request. There's actually two big requests there. And he doesn't just simply address God the Father. No, within this, the Godhead is involved. Did you see that? Paul's prayer is Trinitarian. God the Father is there, yeah, verse 14, 15, 16. But empowering the people through the Spirit, verse 16. So that Jesus can dwell in their hearts, verse 17, as they understand God's love in ever increasing measures. And he does have these sort of two requests, and they're requests for strength, for power. The first one, for the power of God to be at work in the people by the Spirit. And the second one, that we may know the power of God's love. This means that the Christian life isn't so much us working hard, us doing all that we can do, but the power of God working in us. So then, if we were to just try and work on prayer, just prayer, if we come in here and we just go, okay, this week I'm just going to work on prayer, I'm just going to pray, it gets the focus wrong again. Now, yes, our life is to be disciplined, but I see it like going to the gym. I don't know whether you've seen this craze, but there's all these people that go to the gym and all they do is chest. Like they just work out on their chest, so they end up like my legs, very skinny and scrawny legs, and all they do is work out on their chest. They're just going to the gym and just working out one area. It's kind of like that if you were to just do prayer. Going to the gym and just working out, or maybe you just work out one arm, you end up looking like a one-armed Popeye. I mean, have you seen Popeye's arms? Imagine if he just had one of those things. It just doesn't look right. It's not right because prayer fits within a maturing life of service. It's more like the program that you're using to ensure that as you go along, you're including this personal trainer that's teaching you, giving you the power, enabling you to grow. Paul is asking God to grow these people. You hear it in the language. That they are so embedded in the love of Christ that all things sprout from, grow up from, are built upon this love. Which means there is no fear in asking for anything. Are your prayers full of requests? Do you actually request things when you pray? All the time. Not just when you need that little moment. And firstly, big requests like Paul's request to see Christ indwell his people, asking for the Spirit to enter and dwell, request to understand the love of God more and more, to understand its completeness. These are big prayers, and we're going to look at them a little bit more in a moment when we think about what we're waiting for. But what prevents you from asking, just generally? Why are you not always asking God for stuff because he's the one that gives the power? Just generally. Maybe it's the small things that you don't want to ask about, the seemingly trivial, the everyday stuff. Maybe it's we don't want to doubt when the prayer isn't answered. You know, you don't want to risk it, throwing that prayer out, and what happens if it doesn't get answered? Or maybe it's because we don't believe God cares about the trivial, I mean, does God care about us offering up the trivial stuff? When I think trivial, I think of my Commodore. I had this Holden Commodore. Even just thinking about it makes me sad. Sorry, I was having a moment. But we called it the ultimate hook 'em beast because its number plate was UHB. And it wasn't so much ultimate. It was a beast, but it wasn't ultimate, I can tell you that much. And we drove it down to Melbourne one time, and we just thought, everybody trusted us with this thing too. They used to get in the back and be like, yeah, you can take us on holidays and stuff like that. You can take us to this wedding we all desperately need to get to and get back from. So I did. You know what's going to happen, don't you? Coming back from Melbourne, it started to sort of, it had already been a bit of a hunk, so we didn't really know whether it was going to make it. We got about halfway back and things are looking a bit sketchy. And so we kept going, we kept powering, because what else can you do? Finally, it wouldn't really go up this one hill, so we pulled over, we were parked, and it just wouldn't start. No hope, wouldn't start. And I remember the girl in the back, she was starting a teaching job the following week, and she was freaking out. She's like, she was in tears, just so worried that we weren't going to get back. I'm like, it's okay, we'll figure out another way. The last thing I was thinking in that moment was prayer. I can tell you right now, last thing I was thinking. And my mate, Sam, came and said, hey, come here, man, we should pray. I can tell you straight in my head, why would we do that? No joke. No, I was thinking, and I think we do that all the time. This trivial thing that we could ask for God's power with, we go, really? Come on. Why would we pray in this moment? No, man. I think we should pray. All right, let's give it a go. Let's pray. So we sat on the front of the bonnet and we prayed and he prayed and he prayed. We went round to the car, put the key in the ignition. We started it. We drove home, and then the next day I started looking for our new car. But the point is, it worked. Seemingly it worked. Now, we don't know the cause and the effect in that moment. But by drawing God into that moment, we are now constantly talking about that moment. My friend Sam and I, we will always, nearly always, as Christian brothers, be encouraged by the fact about the Commodore time. Remember that time with the Commodore? Where God answered our prayer. The trivial. Think about it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into trespass, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Even the daily bread stuff, even the trivial stuff, all of it is asking. I don't know whether you've noticed that in the Lord's Prayer, but it's like request, request, request. Trivial is okay. It is okay for Micah to pray for his dinosaur cupcakes because he loves them and he needs them and he wants his father to give to him. God is that involved in all aspects of our life. The good things, the needy things, the big things, the little things, the cars and the cupcakes. All requests, big and small. The infinite and personal God wants to hear them. He wants to know you're asking of him. So please don't be like I was in that moment. Request, request, request in all moments that you have. He wants to know you're asking him and requesting him because as you grow, all aspects of your life are connected to that personal relationship. So we can pray. But sometimes we don't even give him the chance, do we? I was out here last week and I was listening to the kids scheming to try and figure out whether they could go, oh, let's try to figure out a play date. Just go and ask your parents. I used to always think that I could scheme around my parents to get this play date to happen. But guess what ended up happening? It always had to come back to whether they would actually do it. And we're the same. We have no power in these things, and yet we scheme all the time to try to avoid having to take it to God. And he's the one with the power. That's what we're seeing here. The one with the power to grow us, to support us, to encourage us. Go to the Father. We need to enter into this sort of divine dance and let go of our control. Prepare to have doubt look us in the face. And we may just grow through it because prayer is personal and prayer is to be full of requests. I wonder if you're walking down here in Riverwood, if you met Jesus walking down the street, what you'd ask him. You ever wonder that? You're just wandering along and he won't look like what you expect him to look like, but Jesus walking up and you know it's Jesus somehow. And here he comes and there he is. What would you ask him? Would you ask him maybe something like a curiosity thing? What's heaven like? How was it when you were a kid? I mean, we don't get that much in the Bible. How was it when you were a kid? I mean, thinking of that, could you remember your time in the womb? Because, I mean, like, you're God and you're a baby in the womb. Would it be a curiosity thing? A little bit weird, maybe? Or what about some other things? why wouldn't you heal my body? Why do you allow cancer to ruin lives? Why can't I find a job? I'm on my way to try and find one, Jesus, and I just happen to run into you. Why did you take my child, my brother, my sister away from me? Why do I always feel distant and alone? Why should I even bother with praying? Jesus, why did you pray? Because it's telling that Jesus prayed, is it not? I mean, two of the most revealing prayers are his Abba prayer in Gethsemane, just before he goes to the cross, and then his Eloi prayer upon that very cross. And the letter to Hebrews tells us he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. But he wasn't saved from death, was he? And yet within Jesus' prayers, he expectantly, awaitingly, knowing his Father is the God of hope, prayed. I mean, why bother with prayer? Because our Father longs to hear. And maybe it is as simple as saying, well, Jesus prayed. I mean, the Son of God, the Word that spoke the world into existence, who sustains all things, that guy felt the need, the desire to pray. And he prayed as if it made a difference, always awaiting because of who he cried out to. And this is the one he cried out to. Paul got it as well. Verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus prayed with hope and expectation. Paul prays with hope and expectation. Paul prays because he knows his God is able. Able to do more than we ask or imagine. More than you could imagine. Do you have that sort of anticipation? More than you could even imagine? Or has doubt forced its way in? Remember, our focus is so important when it comes to prayer. Hope begins with the heart of God. And prayer extends from that very hope. That's what Paul started with, really, for this reason. Remember the reason for this prayer? The incredible story of redemption, our hope, our salvation. Now, many of us say in practice that we believe in Christian hope, that we really believe that Christian hope is what we hold our lives to. But we live and breathe the cynical spirit of our age, and we miss the heart of God. If we really grasp the immensity of what has happened, what God has done in redemption, then we too could pray just like Paul. Are your prayers cynical or prayed with anticipation? Awaiting prayers mean we can pray with expectation in times of joy, yeah, but in times of need too, desperate need. We can allow for our deepest longings and desires to be expressed. And we can do so repeatedly because we know we can pray always awaiting. Now, I struggled with this for a couple of years. I used to have to pray, please God, just let me believe in prayer. And then there was a moment last year that I want to share with you. Many of you know baby Sophie Bullen, Betty and Ralph Jobling's granddaughter. And so she was born with some heart issues that she needed surgery on. But she was a tiny little one. She was only just over 2.5 kilos. And I remember receiving an email from them telling us about what they needed to do. She was much smaller initially, but she'd slowly started to grow. And that she needed to have the surgery, but she needed to be 3 kilos to have the surgery. And it was only a short period of time away. 3 kilos is small still too, by the way, just if you're wondering. And I said to Kat, because I know Kat from college, Kat Bullen, she texted saying, hey, we'd love, appreciate prayer. I said, okay, well, I'll commit 3 p.m. every day. I'll pray 3 p.m. for 3 kilos for the three of you. It was just a way of me trying to remember. And I set a little reminder on my phone and I prayed every day, 3 p.m. for 3 kilos for the three of them. As simple as that, really. And it was a fantastic journey to go on. As I prayed, expecting the next text message to, in fact, expecting the next text message to tell me something. Let me just quickly find it. August 20. Latest weigh-in from this afternoon is 2.79 kilos. Packed on 120 grams in the last 6 days. Going strong. Praise God. Praying, praying, praying. 1st of September. She's going well. Last Tuesday was 2,990 grams. Keep going. She is 3.2 kilograms now. A couple of days before the surgery needed to happen. Praise God. Praying, awaiting, expecting, and then hearing that. It's an incredible journey to go on when you actually take that risk and awaitingly, expectantly pray to the God who can do more than we could ever imagine. What have you been praying for this year? Think about it. What has your heart been on? I can tell you one thing for me, sleep. Tilly is just driving us insane. Seriously, last night was like 2 till 4, just And when in those moments where she's screaming, I just want to give up. I could not imagine a day where I sleep through the night. Parents, you hearing me? Yes. I could not imagine that day. But more than that, please, that's silly, I know. I long to see my kids know the Lord. And this may have been your prayer your entire life, and you still pray it today. You know what else I want? I want to see the suffering of Christians in China end, the brothers and sisters across the Middle East liberated. I don't want to see people having to seek refuge, risking their very lives to get away from home. But I can't imagine how that will happen. I want to see the kingdom grow here at Ngawi and beyond. Friends who continue to reject the Lord changed. People who I could never imagine, you know those people, the people you could never imagine changing, made alive in Christ. You and me grasp the fullness of God's love for us in Christ more than we could ever imagine or ask. In verse 20, Paul's language, it's stretched to the absolute limits. He basically says, infinitely more than you can imagine, infinitely more than you could ask. There is no limit to what God can do. Do our prayers reflect that? There's very few prayers that I remember in my life, but there's one particular prayer that I remember very well. We just found out that the baby inside Vic was no longer growing. Just found out. And in that moment, the first thing I remember praying was, please, God, bring life back into this womb. It's more than I could imagine, more than I could expect, surely. But do you know why I could pray that? Because of who my God is, because he is the God of hope, because he is the God of resurrection, because in that moment, what he was doing was he was drawing me closer into that relationship with him. Now, that prayer wasn't answered the way that I wanted it to be. But prayer is not a means of removing sort of the unknown and unpredictable elements of life, but rather a way of including the unknown, the unpredictable, in the outworking of the grace of God in our very lives. Unknown, unpredictable, unimaginable. There is no limit to what God can do when we pray, always awaiting. It doesn't mean that we always get exactly what it is that we ask for. But when we pray, always awaiting, prayer becomes much more than that shopping list, a whole list of requests to present to God so when it isn't ticked, we start to doubt. Instead, it becomes this realignment of everything. We pray to see the truth of the universe restored, gain a greater glimpse of the world, to see myself through God's eyes so that our hearts align with God's heart. Our will aligns with God's will. So prayers, answered and unanswered, push us back to him. And this is the final aspect that we learn from Paul. We learn what his heart is centered upon, and it is all about the glory of the Lord, isn't it? We've seen this thread right throughout Ephesians, and he says at verse 21, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. You can learn a great deal about people when you listen to them pray. You can. Masks are removed. We see their hearts, their minds, their desires, what they care about, where their passions are. Where their passions lie. And we've seen this right throughout the way Paul's praying. That's because he knows he can approach the Father with honesty. We don't always do the same. But because of that, Paul is all about the glory of God. He knows that we exist to glorify God. The church, he says, exists to glorify God. Even the church that's in Christ Jesus exists to glorify God. Right throughout this, we've seen where Paul's focus is, really. This last point's been right throughout. Paul's prayers began and finish with God. Do our prayers begin and end with that same focus? Are they personally calling out to the intimate and infinite Father? Are they full of requests, both big, small? Are they always awaiting, expectant, because we know there is hope, because this is a God of hope? Focused on our God and his glory, a glory that by his love he has pulled us into. Do your prayers actually show that you are heard? I'm going to pray right now, and I'm actually going to pray kneeling. It's going to be a bit weird, uncomfortable for me in some ways. If you'd like to join me kneeling, it's really hard in these pews, but I would love for you to bow your heads with me and pray as we pray to our loving Father. So I might just pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can call you Father, that we have this intimate and personal relationship with you. Lord, please humble us so that we know that you are the God of all creation and yet also that intimate Lord that we can come to and speak with. Please, Father, help us to request all things, including you in every aspect of our life, knowing that you long to give us the power we need to dive deeper and deeper into your love and to reveal to people around us that that is what we do. We live as those in you. Please, Lord, help us to always be awaiting and expectant, knowing that you are the God who can do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. And so, Father, we pray that glory might go to your name in this church here at Nahui, through Christ Jesus, and for all eternity. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.